Caution, the Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience. And, besides that, he's really weird. Welcome to the Mark Unger Show with national marriage speaker and author of Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage, Mark Unger. This is your source for practical, down-to-earth marriage advice without all the over-spiritualization or romantic nonsense. And now the host of the Mark Unger Show, Mark Unger.
And the crowd goes wild with delirium. Because they're listening to the Mark Unger Show, the show that deals with all things concerning
marriage.
I'm, of course, the one, the only Mark Unger.
My mission is to protect you.
Joining me, as always, the charming, the lovely Diane Brierley.
Just do what I tell you.
And, of course, the incomparable Ross Allen Skorzewski.
Listen to me very carefully.
Engineering the show, as always, the talented Timothy Ray, pushing buttons, twisting knobs, and doing all kinds of strange things back there. Timothy Robert Ray! Gotta crank it up there. Da, 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 da! This is the show that handles all of your marital challenges, relational conundrums, dating dilemmas that you can email to us at radio@markunger.com.
How are you today?
How are you?
I'm delightful.
That doesn't sound
fabulous.
No.
Marvelous.
You've got it all wrong. You cannot just come. I'm great. I'm fabulous.
I said I'm delightful. That was a rather delightful voice.
It was very,
wasn't it?
Very laid back, I must say.
I'm delightful today.
No, I'm delightful.
What do you want me to say?
I'm amazing. I'm fantastic. I'm peacefully existing with the world around me.
Okay, that's what I'm doing then. And that's delightful to me, so eat my shorts.
See?
Now we got it.
Yes.
Eat my shorts brings it out of her.
Yeah. I was just trying to be sweet and genteel and kind and, you know. Bless you.
Thank you.
Eat my shorts is Bart Simpson.
Bart, I think, yeah.
Eat my shorts, man. I can't do that voice. Yeah.
Like that was pretty good, actually.
You know how much those guys get paid a year?
It was some absurd number because they just made big squabbles about having to cut back. It's like millions.
$8 million a year.
Yeah.
Just for doing the voice.
A season.
$8 million
per season.
Per season, which is basically a year, though. But $8 million a
season. That's a lot of money.
I would love, because I only get $6 million a season. Which really bites. But $8 million to get in the studio and screw around.
I think
and make
I need to file a grievance.
And how many years? Are they like 23 years?
Yeah, it's like the longest running show ever.
Yeah.
It's pretty dysfunctional, actually, if you think
it's
about it.
It's pretty funny, though.
It is.
It didn't start out the way that it is now, though. I used to watch it. I mean, my son was 3 and 4 years old. He had a Bart Simpson birthday party for like his fourth birthday. It used to be much more of a kid's show when it started off.
No, I don't think so.
They had kids Bart Simpson birthday stuff, I'm telling you.
I know, but it's because it was such a big craze. But it was always irreverent with the whole family.
It's a family.
Yeah, not quite as what it is now.
I don't know. I watched it from the beginning.
Yes, you did. I remember going over to your house, and I would not have expected you guys to, on a Sunday evening, all of a sudden, gather around
Simpsons.
This glowing mechanism, and here come the Simpsons.
The Simpsons.
I love that show. So, of course, all my Christian friends just had a fit.
You can't watch that show. Yeah.
Why? It's funny.
We all watch Desperate Housewives for crying out loud.
Well, I came out years later. No, that's a bad show. I don't know why I watch that. That's
why do you watch
There's
that?
There's no redeeming value
There's
in
no
that
redeeming
show.
Value
I'd
at all.
Rather watch like
I
Young
confess
and
my sins. I should be rebuked.
Young and the Restless isn't much better, friend.
Yes, it is. It's fictitious.
No. So is Desperate Housewives. It's just like a nighttime soap opera. That's all the difference.
That's what it is. But it's more comical.
It has some pretty clever writing.
Yeah, that's why I watch it, because it's funny, but it's very sick and twisted. And
it is.
I thought, oh, man, if people knew I watched the show,
they'd
think less of me.
I just told on you.
But I don't know. It's one of those shows. In fact, the last time we were watching it, I was thinking to myself, I shouldn't be watching
this.
I still have yet to have that feeling concerning
Dexter.
But I
never thought The Simpsons was all that bad. I mean, it's certainly not redeeming in any way.
But, no.
But I don't know. I always thought it was pretty funny.
Did you go over the rules of the show? I missed that.
I did not. Okay. I did not. This is the show that handles all your marital challenges, relational conundrums, and dating dilemmas that you can email to us at radio@markgunger.com. The rules of the show go like this. You can send us a question about anything in the world and remain totally and completely anonymous. We, in return, get to be brutally honest. That's how it works. So if you don't want brutal honesty, don't send anything to us. But otherwise, if you want to know what we think, Soccer 2 is good news. People, we don't know who you are. Nobody else does. So just relax. Also, if you have any argument that you and your wife are having, some stupid argument, just some of the dumbest things. I like the last one. Arguing over
dolls and versus action
dolls
figures.
Versus action figures.
So we decided that an action figure is anything that can be blown up, melted, or torn apart. Therefore, Barbie dolls, Cabbage Patch dolls, anything
that could actually be an action figure in the hands of a boy, or the hands of a girl
who wants to be destructive.
The only way the Barbie doll becomes an action figure is she's like being held hostage.
Then she's an action
figure. And then the action figure is like G.I. Joe and get her.
Yeah, G.I. Joe comes up and the G.I. Joe looks at the situation and he goes,
I have a feeling some bad stuff is about to go down.
Okay, so we ran out of time.
If it's a tea party, you're back in Dollville.
You brought it up, and I'm glad, because we ran out of time. I didn't get to ask my question of the two of you. My dying to ask question is Ken a doll, or is Ken an action figure? Ken, you know Ken.
Oh, it's Ken. Ken is kind of gay, so it's hard to say.
He can be a doll or an action figure, depending.
He's kind of a doll. You know, because
he never
blows anything up.
Well, what if you used Ken?
Well, if you used Ken and like stuck an M80 up his rear or something, and then
if you rescue him, we will blow him up.
The door to Barbie, and she comes to the door, and boom!
Then he's an action figure.
Now he's an action figure. Well, he was at that point.
If he dresses up in his little Ken tuxedo and comes to knock on the door and take Barbie out, then he's a doll.
Then he's a doll.
What about if you have Barbie's Corvette and you're racing him around driving in
doll.
Barbie's Corvette?
Doll.
Still doll.
If, even, if you're doing,
Humvee.
Even if you're doing road races?
There's no turret on it.
He gets really angry and starts going like this. Then he's an action figure.
So funny.
It just depends.
See, that's like a Transformer. A Transformer would never ever be, oh, that's a doll. No.
It's not a doll.
No.
It's a Transformer. Anyway.
That was pretty funny.
It was great. That was great.
I like that.
You know,
one.
We gotta get more of those coming in. I love those.
They make our day much easier.
The dumb couples fights. Because then it doesn't make you feel so bad for some of your dumb arguments. Because we
I'm
have
still
really
waiting
dumb,
to hear the dumbest. Your dumbest.
Our dumbest argument.
I'm still waiting to hear the dumbest. They're so dumb that you
They're
can't
so
even remember.
Dumb. So many to choose.
You have that many to choose from, really?
No, not really. It's just a few. I don't know. Temperature probably is a dumb argument we have all the time.
You know. 2 degrees up, 2 degrees down.
You know what the dumbest argument, as far as I'm concerned right now, is that when I'm driving, I have to have the air conditioning on, even though it's hot, because it keeps the humidity level down and keeps the windows from fogging. She thinks I'm out of my ever-loving mind for thinking such a thing. And it's cold, and it's set at 80. I'm like, well, why do you have to have the air conditioner? Because it keeps the humidity up. No, it doesn't.
Actually, most defrosters in cars, when you click them on,
kick
on the AC.
Yeah.
Even though it's blowing the hot air for that very reason.
But she
so my daughter would be wrong.
Humidity.
My daughter is wrong. Of course, she's not here. I'm afraid of her, so I won't tell her that to her face. But
so when you're driving, you can do whatever you want, but I'm driving.
That's right.
So this is your latest ongoing about the AC.
It always has been, because I don't know what you women do when you're driving in your cars, but sometimes there's more of a haze and foggy film on that window, and I feel like I'm having to get the squeegee out and like, just to be able to see, and I'll put on the AC, and then she goes off.
See, you'll love me even more because I'm the big drive with the AC on for the very reason you're explaining, because I don't like the stuff on the windows.
It's because you're more like a man.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
Now, keep it clear. Now, there was a day I used to like steaming up the windows.
No, that's different.
More.
Oh, no.
No, that's bad.
But
you know, I saw somebody that happened once. One time, one of my closest friends in high school were driving out to someone's house for a party, uh-huh. and they were parked alongside the road. And guess what it was?
Oh no!
Horizontal mambo, everything going on
the
side of a country road, and we're driving out there. We're like, oh my gosh! And we all know who it was.
Oh man!
So did you stop?
No, you keep going, and then you bust them as they come through the door, going, "Saw
you." We know what you were doing.
It was the Titanic scene.
That's because you were a little heathen. That's why.
No, this is we were all married at the time.
Oh, you were married, and they stopped.
And they were married, and they stopped.
Oh, and they stopped for quickie.
Yes,
oh, I'm all for that.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, sure.
Oh,
as people are driving by.
Yeah, married man, you can have sex all the
time.
That's
exhibitionism,
like that.
Then. You're hoping to be found.
Yeah, I walk it, I'm smiling, bragging. That's right. Just, I got some. Y'all ain't got nothing.
Go someplace besides the shoulder
pull
of the road.
Pull deeper
that's
into
all.
The back 40, as far as I'm concerned. Get off the
find a rest
back.
Area.
Well, when it hits you, you just got to go with it. You know how
oh
it is.
Oh, my gosh. I feel like I'm way in over my head already in 11 minutes. In. No, stop.
Oh, baby.
Stop. Stop it.
You know what's really
stop
the worst
it.
Part about
instead
it?
Of the Homer things. What?
Is when the couple walks through the door and everybody's sitting there going, yeah, we know what just happened. How do you just say, what's it coming? Hey, how's it going?
I would have said, dude, you were on the side of the road. I saw you. I would
really?
Have said that. If it was a really good friend of mine, surely I would
you know,
have.
I think all the guys who didn't get laid are going,
oh, crap.
And if was it somebody you were really good friends with, Ross?
Yes.
Then why
yeah,
I
who this
surely would have.
They were hilarious.
I
they were always doing it, man.
The daylights out of them.
Those two would do it, and they would walk in. I mean, you could hear them in the next room.
Yeah.
And you're like,
stop it. And they just keep going.
They keep going. They come out, and they're all totally disheveled. Just sit down and just start talking with you like nothing had happened. Like,
yeah. In the next room, like
oh,
you
yes.
were at their house?
No.
We were
like
doing a worship retreat.
It was like
a hotel.
Retreat. No, yeah,
okay.
Yeah. But they were hilarious, those two. They were always, look, at least they were doing it right. They
that's
were married.
Right. They
loved
married,
each
it
other.
Was fine.
And they were just having a good time.
Just inflicting it upon all
making
of you.
Making me feel like an absolute heel.
Making you feel like.
Ah, crap.
Why isn't my wife here?
Seriously.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man. That's funny stuff. Anyway.
Okay. Are you ready to proceed with today's festivities?
No, no, no.
No, I didn't
think we have
an
announcement
so.
To make.
Oh, that's right. Today's the announcement day.
We have an announcement to make. It's a very, very, very important announcement. Everybody get up. Oh, yeah. Listen to that back beat.
Not the right song. You didn't
yeah, it is.
No, it
is. It is, baby, baby. Because Timothy Robert Ray is going to be a daddy.
Yeah.
He now is going to have a baby. So, congratulations to Timothy Robert Ray. He's a man now. He's a real man.
He's going
to
be a daddy.
See, now you do have to start watching Dexter so you can know how to be a serial killer and a dad.
That's right. We have our own Dexter living with us.
Oh, my gosh.
He's thinking. I hope
come on, Amy, sing it, baby.
Listening to this.
Wasn't her music video with this about her kids? Baby, baby?
I don't know, but you played the wrong song. You needed to play Paul Anka.
What's Paul Anka?
You're having my baby. Come on, that's the right song.
Oh, he's got a great groove, though. Anyway, congratulations.
I don't remember.
To Timothy, Paul Anka.
Paul Anka, you're having my baby.
I don't remember that song.
Having
you're
my baby.
Having
yeah,
my
come on,
baby.
You don't remember it? You're having
I
Paul
do not
Anka.
Remember it. Or is it? There it is.
Surely you don't remember this.
Whoops. Push the right button here.
You're the woman I love, and I love what it's doing to you. I'm having my baby. You're a woman in love, and I love what's going through you.
I love what's going through you.
need inside you. I love what's going through you. I see it showing. When we say that on early mornings when she's hurling. You feel it growing, yeah. Are you happy in
knowing? Clap your hands. My wife would have said, I'm a woman and I can't stand what you did to me.
I don't know.
I'm not feeling that.
Sorry.
That just sounds very disingenuous. I can't imagine how many women in the middle of morning sickness would say this.
I don't know.
It's not as cool as this, though. Come on.
This is more of a love song, you guys.
Oh, it's got a groove, though.
Well,
if you can't dance to it, you can't play it on a Mark Gunger
show. The Macarena has a groove, too.
Oh, yeah. Baby, baby. Anyway, so.
What about this one?
What's that?
It's the Dexter theme song.
It is. It's so creepy, that show. So, Timothy, yes, and his lovely wife, who's as quiet as he is. I don't think I've ever heard her say a word.
Well, I've never met her, so I need to meet your wife, Tim.
Tim, your wife always looks at me like, man, are you weird? I mean, you know how somebody looks at you? And they're thinking like, man, are
you
weird?
You're glad that she doesn't say what she thinks.
She's probably a smart girl. She's probably a good judge of character.
How come Tim has yet to chime in on any of this?
He's not agreeing or disagreeing, Ben.
He ain't saying nothing because his wife might hear this later. She's a sweet lady, pretty girl, and she's just real quiet. Do you guys talk at your house?
We do, yes.
Much?
In hushed tones and very few words.
They probably yell at each other at home.
Why do you work for that man? He's a moron.
You're doing a different job.
I don't know. I can't find a decent job. You work for that idiot. See how you do. Anyway, cool. All right. It's going to be interesting because those two are very quiet. I bet your kid will just be like a screeching banshee.
You think?
He'll be running around. Ah! All the time.
What do we do?
He's so loud. He's so loud. Why is he so loud? Ah!
I blame your pastor for that.
Oh, that's just funny. All right, cool. All right, now what you got?
You want to take a break?
Let's take a break from all this nonsense. And then we'll come back with your emails and dilemmas right after this.
He's a pastor, best-selling author, and popular marriage speaker. He's Mark Gunger, bringing you hard-hitting and honest marriage advice. If you like listening to Mark Gunger on the radio, you'll love watching him live. Each week, Mark presents his Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage seminar in cities across the country. This wildly entertaining and informative event is designed to bring hope and positive change to your marriage, improve your communication, help your spouse to better understand you and your needs.
Men's brains are very unique. Men's brains are made up of little boxes. And we have a box for everything. We've got a box for the car. We've got a box for the money. We've got a box for the job. We've got a box for you. We've got a box for the kids. We've got a box for your mother somewhere in the basement. We got.
Don't wait. Events are filling up fast. To view a schedule and register for an upcoming event, visit us today online at laughyourway.com. That's laughyourway.com.
Butt-Kicking Woman's Conference is back with a newly released DVD set from the second year of the conference with all new hard-hitting speakers, Lakeeta Garth, Diane Brierley, comedian Carrie Pomeroli, and of course, the man, the myth, the legend, Mark Gunger himself.
But I do not get it today. I mean, oral sex has become the goodnight kiss on the first date today. Now, in my ancient mind, I'm not sure how one negotiates that transaction. I had a really good time tonight. Yeah. And before you go,
You get over 7 hours of content that will change your life and make you a stronger butt-kicking woman. Order your DVD today at laughyourway.com or call 1-866-525-2844. That's laughyourway.com.
Wouldn't it be nice if everybody in the world listened to the Mark Gunger Show? It would be the beginning of world peace.
As in like world green peas or world peace?
World peace, like WHIRLEDPEAS.
Gotcha.
Will be the beginning of world peace.
Not a big fan of peas.
I don't like canned peas.
I like peas. I like any kind of peas.
You like canned peas?
I do.
Oh, yuck. They're just mushy and...
Well, excuse me.
I like fresh peas or frozen peas, but canned peas are gross. It's like canned spinach.
We just had pea soup.
I know. I like pea soup.
Well, maybe that was canned peas.
It probably was canned peas, well, but they're all mushed down now. When they're just,
oh, as long as they're mushed, they're okay.
But when they're like peas and they're still mushed, if it's just mush... I don't like cream corn either, by the way.
That's really funny. People actually listen to this program. That's really odd. I mean,
anything
they're all thinking, why am I listening to stupidity? Right. And we're thinking, why are you listening to stupidity? We have no idea why you people listen to the show.
We don't
know. All right, okay,
okay, here's the article for the day. It's actually from Huffington Post. And you know how several times we've talked about the first year of marriage being so difficult and because you say that it's not supposed to be and yours wasn't?
Yeah.
Well, apparently there's an article that was written all about that.
Oh, really?
So I found it about the first year of marriage being difficult.
Okay. What's it say?
There was this four-year study that they did following 301 married couples from engagement through their first 5 years, for their five-year anniversary. During interviews after the couples...
Wait a minute.
What?
He says a four-year study?
Over the last 4 years.
A four-year study based on the first 5 years of marriage.
Through their five-year anniversary. I don't know. I'm just reading what it
says. Well, it's a mathematical problem here.
It would be a five-year study.
We have a four-year study looking at the first five years of marriage. Well, how do you do that?
Okay.
All right. Sorry.
Apparently, it's a five-year study, but I'm just reading
what it
was.
Apparently, it was a five-year study. We did a three-year study on the effects of 10 years of...
All right. It doesn't matter because all of the interviews they did were at the one-year anniversary markers. So it's only the first year they're interested in. Maybe they've done it for 4 years but only care about the first year. I don't know.
All right, a little odd. Okay.
It says they expressed, many, many couples expressed their surprise with how challenging the first year actually was. Some of them said, I thought the first year was going to be easy. There were more ups and downs than I expected. We felt some big stress. Despite these challenges, most of our couples were still very satisfied with their marriage, believing that their union was meant to be.
Oh, whoopee-doo. Mm-hmm. After 1 year, they still like each other.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me in 20 years.
They thought their relationships would last a lifetime. It showed how well couples could cope with challenges and still be optimistic about their marriage. Now, this is the good part because this is what you say. Moreover, challenges in marriage can be a good thing. Couples who face moderate stress when their marriage is relatively strong can adjust to the stress and their relationship will get stronger and be better prepared for the bigger challenges that all couples eventually face. Think of it like getting inoculated. A little bit of challenge to your marriage early can make it stronger for future tests.
Now, let me explain to you why some of you parents are so incomprehensibly stupid. It's because you insist that your kids get all their ducks in a row so when they get married, they'll have no stress. That's what everybody does.
I know they do.
Wait until this is perfect.
Get a house,
career,
get your money, get your car, get everything in order.
So they're going to have no stress. These are the people who wind up having some of the lousiest marriages. Don't freak out that your kids don't have their lives all together. If they're in love and want to get married, let them get married. I don't care how old they are. Of course, these are the kids who wind up screwing each other because the Christian mom and dad don't want to get married to a young because they're worshiping at the idol of money instead of the throne of God.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh, people. Good thing I'm not God. I just kill a whole lot
it's
of people.
It's a good thing.
I'd kill them all.
It is a
kill
really
all.
Good thing.
I'd kill everybody. I'd have killed me.
I'm so glad.
I'd have killed everybody started with me.
Kill starting with you.
Okay. We'd all been real safe then.
We'd all been safe. God would kill me first. Maybe there'd be peace and there'd be world peace.
All they'd have to do is kill you and we'd all be fine.
We'd all be good
oh
then.
Oh, my.
Okay, all then right. They go on and talk about four, give some advice about four things that are teachable moments that you can learn from during
four
the
things.
First year. The first is life stress. Life has a tendency of getting in the way of marriage, and a lot of the time we fail to recognize that the fights can be caused and made worse by just the stress that we experience outside of our relationship. Stress tends to eat up mental and physical energy, which leaves us tired, worn out, and less likely to be patient or understanding with our partners.
I'm tired and worn out. I don't even need stress.
No. Okay.
It just happens automatically.
That little annoying thing, or the big annoying thing sitting here, whatever the case may be.
You talking about me?
No. The little annoying thing your husband does with his fork at dinner suddenly becomes enraging if you are under a lot of stress. And this next point is actually really good. Unfortunately, most people do not recognize the toxic effects of stress. Instead of making an external attribution like my partner and I aren't getting along because we are both stressed out, we attribute the behavior to our spouse. I never knew my partner could be so annoying. Why doesn't he consider my feelings? Do you understand what they're saying there? Instead of saying it's just like work stress or life stress or this, you assign it to the other person.
Got it.
I thought that was a good point.
That is a good point. I concur.
The first makes you
I am concurring.
Concur.
Listen to the sound of me concurring.
Okay.
Okay.
If you think about it the first way, it makes you think about ways to change your situation, i.e. getting rid of your stress. The second makes you wonder why you got married, or I suppose think that you got married to the wrong person. It's easy to see how things can turn ugly quickly if you keep making internal instead of external attributions.
You know how you avoid having things get ugly quickly? Is marry somebody ugly in the first place.
So and it's ugly really to ugly, begin with.
It's ugly to begin with. The other one. So that's why my wife didn't have any problems. So she married ugly to start with.
If you just marry ugly, then...
You marry ugly, then you have to worry about things getting ugly.
Because
it's already ugly.
Uglier.
That's why things got real ugly in our home, because we're both just drop-dead sexy.
That's right. Oh, to have your problems, Ross. Okay,
oh,
the second area they talked about in the first year is the in-laws. The image of the interfering, disapproving in-laws making a young couple's life difficult has long been a comedic punchline. But the reality is that the family you have and the one you are marrying into can make a big difference in how your marriage will turn out.
That's why I tell people, look at the family.
Yes.
If you can't stand the family, dump the dude and get somebody else.
It can also make
them... Yeah, more couples whine about their in-laws than anything else, especially Ross.
Well, you would agree that I have a valid platform for arguing, though.
Arguing about how psycho your in-laws are?
Yeah.
If you can't stand the psycho in-laws, then move on. Good grief. All right, we'll come back with the other two right after this.
You and your family are connected by routine, and you stick to it. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if your day's routine is disrupted and you can't reach your family? Have you planned for that? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
We know you like listening to The Mark Gunger Show, but if you also enjoy listening to other programs like Family Life, Focus on the Family, or The Debbie Chavez Show, you should check out Zubio's personalized listening software. Zubio organizes your favorite shows into personalized listening channels, which you can listen to on your computer, MP3 player, or smartphone. Listening to your channel couldn't be any simpler. Just touch Play All, and the day's best shows play one after another. Perfect for listening while driving, working, or exercising. It's the easiest way to listen to multiple shows. Create your own personalized listening channel by going to www.zubio.com. That's Zubeo.com.
Me.
is this?
Prince.
Prince.
One of my favorite artists.
Or the artist formerly known as.
Right. He has really put out a varying platform of sounds.
You're listening to the Mark Gunger Show. A platform of all kinds of weird sounds.
Indeed.
Mostly coming out of our mouths. All right, so.
Okay, first year of marriage.
Is life stress.
Life stress, dealing in-laws, with the in-laws. The next one is sexual challenges.
All right, sexual challenges. What do they say?
For some couples, getting married means the start of their sexual relationship.
Who's that?
For others, sex
Most
has
Most people, they've been breaking their brains out for years.
Says, for others, sex has been a part of their relationship for a long time. Shouldn't be, but that's the way it is. If your sexual relationship is just starting, it presents new challenges to the relationship. You will need to become comfortable both with your own sexuality and how to please your partner.
Oh, yeah, that's rough.
For others,
that's
for
rough.
Some people,
that's
they really freak out about it.
That's
You're
a tough
just
one.
Not one.
What do I do with that?
I don't know. Okay, let's have sex again. Yeesh, get the hang of this.
Here's the bigger problem.
What's that?
For others, sex may have become a bit stale and in need of a reboot. Because they've been doing it just like what you talk about all along.
See, that's why I believe. People who get married, I'm convinced, people who marry early in life do not have these problems. You rarely hear of someone. It's these people who wait to get married. Then they have their first years. That's so hard. Because they're so set in their ways. They've been doing stuff wrong for so long. People who do it right from the get-go, you don't hear them talking. It's very rare. I know some people will say it, but it's very rare. Talk to most people who get married 18, 19, 20, 21 years of age. The first year of marriage is a blast. It's great. Why? Because you're struggling with those challenges of how to have sex. How hard is that? You know, and you're connecting with each other. You got this huge emotional buzz, and you're doing life, and you're facing life together with these tough challenges, and it helps cement the relationship, as they point out in this thing. Anyway, all right.
The last one, another challenge that you may face in your first year is your first big fight.
My wife and I are still waiting for that.
Lucky you. Conflict is a natural part of any relationship, and almost all couples will have experienced it before they get married. Still, the first major conflict after marriage can feel very different because you are now officially committed to the relationship and may get spouses wondering if they made the right decision. You aren't alone. Conflict can be hard, but learning how to manage conflict well can be a big benefit down the road.
But stop thinking. These are people who go into marriage with a broken concept. They're only there as long as they're happy.
Right.
You know, they go in, they have a bad, I made a mistake. What do you mean you made a mistake? There was no mistake. Nobody gets out of this.
Well, because they think if it was really right one, they wouldn't fight and they wouldn't feel bad.
But my point is, when people go into marriage knowing what marriage means and what it stands for and the commitment that is there, and it's a lifelong marriage, they don't mess with these thoughts of, gee, I made a mistake.
No.
It's irrelevant. You don't even go through your head, man. It's people who keep the back door open. And that's why some of y'all are so miserable when you get married. First of all, you're 47. You're finally getting married. Waited forever. Been having sex with 37 different people before you get married. Assuming that STDs didn't kill you. Now you're all together and you're all... Now life's so hard. So hard. First year of marriage, so hard. First year, man. I remember last time when I was in Africa, I met these two couples married at 32. 31, maybe.
I would imagine that would be very hard.
Oh, and they were talking, it's so hard. How long have you been married? 2 months. Are you kidding me?
Because they were so established.
And these guys, I'm presuming, are people who did not have sex. These were pretty committed Christians, but they waited so long to get married. And it's so hard. It's so hard. What, you dorks? What are you waiting for? Good grief.
It's hard to stop being selfish.
One couple comes up to me and says, well, you know, how far can you go? So, well, don't go anywhere. Just get married. We don't want to get married. So how far can we go? I said, you can go home. Stop it. Knock it off. Go away.
Go home. You know what that means.
Yeah, no, I'm going to go home. Get out of here. Get away from me is what I meant. Just get away from me. How far can we? You know, if you don't, and it's that's what it ticks me off. People, Christians, heathens, heathens is like, I don't speak. Morally, from a heathen, is like trying to have a conversation about math with a cat. You know,
right.
So I don't have mathematical discussions with my cat.
No, you don't.
Because they just don't get it. Okay? So I don't slam heathens for doing stuff super sex. Those are heathens. They don't know God. They don't know anything about God. They know how to curse. That's about it. It's the only God they use. But people who are Christians, goodness gracious.
How far can we go?
How far can we go? Then these are the ones who say, well, we don't want to get married. But what can we do when we're dating? Well, if you don't want to get married, don't date.
At all.
Then why are you dating, and why are you getting sexually?
The only purpose for dating is to see as if this is the person I want to marry.
Because they want to have fun. They want to fool around.
They date with absolutely no, I don't want to get married, but yet they're dating. These are the people who wind up sinning sexually.
Why are you dating if you don't want to get married?
Because they're darks. They've been listening to this culture that's corrupted their brains. Not good evidence. Anyway, all right.
Okay.
So much for the Huffington Post.
Yes. First email today actually is props for you. I believe that this is from the gal that you were talking about that was at the event in Maryland.
Gaithersburg.
Yes. I think that this is from her.
Ah.
She says, Mark, Diane, and Ross, you guys are so wonderful. I've been listening to the show a lot in the past few weeks. I'm a pod person with a long commute. I've been listening to 3+ episodes a day.
Yeah, that would be the girl.
And somehow you all just don't get old to me. Listening might be making me a bit more psycho, though.
She says,
I end up doing all kinds of crazy things when I'm driving. I've been practicing making the chicken and the cat noises. And you guys constantly send me in 2 fits of laughter. Your show keeps me wide awake on the roads, and for that, I am so grateful. And
you're welcome.
She also said, I'm so excited about what Mark is doing in Joplin. Thanks so much for always telling it like it is and being such wonderful defenders of marriage.
We had someone who listened to the show 3 podcasts. Actually, he recorded a song. I don't know if you heard the song, but...
Remember when you ran away and I got on my knees and begged you not to leave because I'd go berserk? Well, you left me anyhow, and then the days got worse and worse, and now you see I've gone completely out of my mind. And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha, they're coming to take me away, ho-ho, yee-haw, to the funny farm where life is beautiful all the time. And I'll be happy to see those nice young men in their clean white coats, and they're coming to take me away, ha-ha.
That's what happens when you listen 3 times a day, right there.
Right.
That'll be the song that I'm singing real soon down the road just from being a part of this circus.
All right. Okay. What are we doing now?
The next email is sort of comments and a little bit of a rebuttal. She said, listening to a previous show regarding the article about women putting off having children because of the effects on how they look. Do you remember that article that women don't want to ruin their bodies so that they remember that? That was the article. She says, Mark Gunger got all over the ladies because they shouldn't be so vain about how they look. I understand
me
this.
Away, they're coming to take me away.
There are a lot of women who are thinking from that perspective. However, the porn that many men are into, the soft porn, which covers most magazines by the cash registers, the soft porn all over the mall, the way women dress, etc., men are upping their expectations on what a woman should look like. Even if they realize in the far back of their mind that women do age and things do change about her appearance, those other pictures are setting the bar for them in so many ways. I know that my husband, for one, makes comments about certain women, how they look. He has called some women overweight who I would never in my life think were overweight. I wonder how many women want to keep their looks because they are vain, or how many want to keep their looks because they know deep down that their man won't find them attractive if they look different. I could be wrong about this, and the points that you made in response were correct as well. Just offering more about what goes through a woman's mind regarding this.
Well, one way you fix this is you don't marry a piece of crap.
A piece of crap who looks at all of the eye candy
and
all
around. Talking to women and, hey, look at the hooters on her. And, hey, look at that butt. She's a little chunky over there. I don't know. Maybe if you married someone who has a little bit of character, you won't have to worry about that. You can start a family and build a life together and don't have to worry about being perfect all the time.
But if you're married to a guy who's a piece of crap,
then
you probably will be worried about what you look like.
That becomes a little bit of a problem.
I'm sure.
Honestly. And what's with the skinny thing?
Skinny.
I got to tell you, though, just because you walk around the mall.
They're supposed to be sexy, just because you're skinny.
Well, they look emaciated.
And, you know, that's not attractive to me. Mm-mm. Man, there's some drop-dead gorgeous women that are healthy girls, man. They're all over the place. But you know, a lot of it's just their attitude. They dress up. They look great. Their makeup is perfect. Their hair is nice. They're big, but they're big and happy. Hallelujah.
But you even talk about in the movie The Tourist, Angelina Jolie being so beautiful. She is way thin in that movie. Yeah, I think that she's too thin.
She's just gorgeous.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. And there she is, really super thin.
Yeah,
so there you are.
Who cares? It's Angelina.
So just because he makes that statement, you're saying then that our culture, our malls has.
You can't compare to Angelina, though.
No, but, what I'm saying is
very few people. Look, there's a few people. There's Angelina Jolie. There's Mark Gunger. There's a few others that are at that level.
Guilfoyle.
Yeah, Kimberly Guilfoyle.
On Fox News.
Fox News.
Can we put
News,
Fox
babe?
Back on?
No. I'm telling you. Timmy needs to just switch the camera, so the only one that's on
but,
is
okay,
me,
now wait a minute.
Good.
In all fairness, there are people who are stunningly gorgeous people.
Right.
Okay. I mean, my wife told me this the other day. She made some comment about, I can't remember where she was at, but some guy, you know, he's just
really
young,
good looking.
Really good looking. Yeah, she made a comment. I said, hey, knock it off. You know, she's laughing. You know.
Well, she happened to be watching the Packer game when Clay was on. Was that it?
But you know what I'm saying? But to me, that's not love. I mean, there's people, they're just stunningly.
What I'm
holy
saying
cow,
is,
you know,
Angelina
and it's a very
Jolie
small percentage of people.
Is stunningly gorgeous. But if your husband says, oh, look, she's gorgeous, which she is, but in that movie she's very thin, her mind is going to think, oh my gosh, I have to be that thin.
Can I ask a question, please?
Yeah, yeah.
Because this woman in this email said that this is what a lot of men, because we see these things, we automatically want our wives to be this. I don't think
untrue.
That's the case.
Yeah, it's not
I think
true.
That
maybe
they
hers
are very,
just says it
I think,
and
no,
does
I think
it.
They're very... There's a lot of women out there who are insecure by what they see, and they project that onto their husbands and assume.
You're talking about insecure. You know how many guys would be insecure if their wives looked like Angelina Jolie?
You'd have to look like
yeah.
Brad Pitt.
Oh, man. I mean, a guy would be paranoid
you know
and freaked out because they see men looking at him all the time.
You know who she was married to before, don't you?
Who?
She was previously married to Billy Bob Thornton. The guy that plays Sling Blade?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's who she was married to before.
Right. She was married to him?
Yes, sir, she was.
What the heck was she thinking?
And then she divorced him, and now she's not even married to Brad Pitt yet. Right?
I just think it's really easy to blame places like Victoria's Secret, Cosmopolitan, Elle, because there's all this visual stuff that is supposedly making men, you know, think that all these women are so beautiful and that our wives are butt ugly. I don't think that's the case at all.
But it also depends on the male culture that you grew up around, because I will tell you for a fact, Ross, that I grew up around my uncles. All of the males in my family did that growing up. All of them did. And
well, that's
that
your family.
That's what I'm saying, but how
but
many families are like that? I think there's a lot of guys I am not kidding you, I hear guys all the time, I know guys who would say that they are Christians, la, 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 the whole nine yards, but I also hear them make comments like that on a regular
but
basis
in front
of their
wives. But I think what Mark's saying,
though,
if a woman carries herself confidently, it's kind of hard to carry yourself confidently. And, you know, and then when you think you're ugly, you don't measure up.
Yeah, we're chasing our tails on this one. But, you know, I don't see the problem. If you see someone who's stunningly gorgeous, admitting, good heavens, they're stunningly gorgeous.
Right.
I will say this. If it bothers you, tell him to stop it.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
That's all it takes. Right. So it doesn't matter what we're even saying right now, girls. Well, Mark Gunger says it's okay, or Ross says it's okay. It doesn't matter.
No.
If it bothers you when your husband makes comments about other attractive women, look at him and say, hey.
Stop it.
Don't ever do that around me. You hear me? Don't do that. Mm-hmm. That hurts me. That's all you got to say. And then you just draw down the line. You can't do that. Well, Bob over there, he's kidding around with his wife. They don't, you know, because you'll hear my wife and I, you know.
Yeah.
We point out, you've probably been with us. We've done it, you know. It doesn't bother us.
Right.
But if it bothers you, that's all that matters.
Well, it depends on what's said and how it's said and how often it's said. It really does.
Yeah.
If you and Deb, if you said some of the things and you, I mean, like several times a day, all of the time, not just once in a while in an airport, I'm sure it would become a problem.
Well, I say it all the time. Every time I go, for example, past a mirror, I say, now there's a handsome man. That's a good looking man. You know, so that I can't help.
Yes, that you
five,
just
six,
can't
seven, eight
it.
Times a day. I'm talking
you
about
can't
how
help
gorgeous
it.
That guy is. No, I get it. But, you know, these are things you negotiate on. You
right.
Just, you know, a lot of wives don't have problems. Like someone said, well, I hear people talking about, they'll say that in front of their wives, you know, if their wives don't care. Some
and
wives
they don't
honestly
care.
Don't.
They right? don't.
And you think, well, I'd never let my husband do that. That's all you got to worry about.
Yeah. All it matters
so if this
is
bothers
what you,
you, dear, you tell him, don't do it. Very simple.
Right.
Well, I just noticed how she, I don't want her. I don't care if you just want to go over and paint her house.
Paint her house?
you feel altruistic and you want to help her house. I don't care. Don't talk about it.
And even if your man isn't doing that, don't assume that he's thinking that you look like somebody else. How about you carry yourself in a strong, confident way and make yourself appealing to the man? Don't just assume that he's a pig.
Yeah.
I don't think
I just
that
think everybody's
got to
work this
it.
Out. All I'm saying
I'm,
is if it bothers
yeah,
you,
the
tell him to stop it. That's all you got to do, girls.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you hear someone else do it and it doesn't seem to bother his wife, Or even if it does, that's between them. All you got to know is you don't do that to me. That disrespect, if you feel it's being disrespectful to you, you tell him, hey, don't do that to me. Okay? I get it. I'm not blind. I can see her too. Mm-hmm. Don't do that. Don't say anything about it. Okay?
And you know, most women he would respect that.
Most women, that's all. Are you kidding? Most guys, it would just freak them out. They would learn to keep their mouth shut. You don't got to, you know? Of course, then you got insecure women who are always, did you notice that girl? Wasn't she pretty?
That's my point.
Then you got the psycho crazy women.
That's my point.
But I'm saying we're tracing our trails here with all this.
There's so many shades of gray to all of this.
I know it.
There is no definitive yes, no right, wrong, black, white. Pretty good.
No, I didn't. Yes, you did. You had to. You know. Then
that would make you absolutely crazy.
Well, then you got crazy people.
That would make you crazy.
I think there's a whole lot more slice of crazy in the women's world with that.
Without question.
I do. It doesn't help having all these beautiful women plastered all over the place in nothing but underwear and like walking down the mall and there's Victoria's Secret standing right to your right.
Yeah.
I try not to look in those places.
I don't.
Bounce your eyes, boys.
You know what's
bounce
funny?
Your
just
eyes.
Watch people as they walk by that and just see what happens to them. Sometimes
watch them looking
their
or not looking. Or
slows down and you can tell someone just aren't trying to look, but you can see them looking.
I can't look my worst. I can't look.
Yeah.
Good night.
I had my son walk by and Leslie was in there. I said, go by your mom. He's like, uh-uh.
Oh, jeez.
He wouldn't go in the store.
Yeah, he's a good boy.
Okay. Oh, well.
All right. Well, let's take a break. We'll come back with more emails right after this.
Listening to The Mark Gunger Show can drastically reduce your chances of becoming a repeat offender of marital and relational dilemmas in your home. Listen to The Mark Gunger Show Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Standard Time at www.markgungershow.com.
Do you want to discover the heart of your child and who God created them to be? Laugh Your Way America is excited to introduce the Kids Flag Page. This fun and interactive game will help you discover the unique way God wired your child. Find the key things that motivate them and learn what they love most about life. This colorful and engaging activity set will help your child see who they are at their very best and will teach you how to bring out the best in your child. Each Kids Flag Page game comes with everything you need to complete 3 Kids Flag Pages. Designed for children ages 4 to 11, the Kids Flag Page is a fun way for moms and dads to interact with their kids and truly discover the heart of each child. To order your game, go to www.laughyourway.com. That's laughyourway.com.
Mark Gunger and Laugh Your Way America are pleased to present this much-anticipated DVD set, Singles and Stinking Thinking, A Clear Path to Marriage. This 4-disc set gives practical and straightforward advice that singles need to hear when it comes to dating and marriage and making the right decision. Taught from a definite Christian worldview, Mark challenges the over-spiritualized, over-romanticized expectations that fill the heads of so many singles. More than 4 hours of teaching, this series includes sessions on finding a spouse, the do's and don'ts of dating, and sex makes you stupid, and so much more. This DVD is for all singles from age 16 to 90 with an eye toward marriage. Parents, if you are looking for a resource that is packed full of biblical wisdom to help instruct your son and daughter on a path towards a successful married future, this is the DVD set for you. Order your copy now at laughyourway.com or call 1-866-525-2844. That's laughyourway.com.
Here's the Mark Gunger. We're trying not to break your heart. As you listen to the show, what else you got there?
Okay, this email says, does Mark have anything to say about people who don't feel they can handle children and don't have any? Does Mark think that all married people should have children, or does he think some people really aren't meant to be parents?
Gosh, I never really thought about it. My guess is I think everybody's meant to be a parent. Well, how would someone not meant to be a parent?
Well, if they just don't feel like they can handle kids, or that they're cut out the personality wise.
What does that mean? I don't know what that means.
Maybe they're around other people's kids and they irritate them and they don't think they'd have the patience or want to take care of them. Or
I don't know. They won't like my answer. I think people who don't want to have children are selfish. That's what I think.
Do you think they should get married?
If they marry someone who doesn't want to have kids.
Right. No, I'm just saying it all. I mean,
no, I don't know. I can't unscramble all the eggs. I'm just saying, what do I think? I think people who don't want to have children are by nature selfish. That's what I think. You say, well, you think I'm selfish? You know, look, you ask me what I think. That's what I think. I don't walk up to you and say it. I don't say, hey, you got any kids? No, you selfish turds. You know, what do I really think? Yeah, that's what I honestly think.
That
I think people
selfish.
Who don't want to have, there's people who can have children, that's one thing.
Mm-hmm. Right?
But they flat out, they just want all of life to be about them. They don't want to be inconvenienced in any way, mm-hmm. shape, or form. They don't want to be troubled. They don't want to have to sacrifice. They don't have to do anything. I think they're selfish. That's what I think. I think by very definition of the way they're choosing to live their lives.
What about that couple the other day that wanted to just devote their lives to ministry and not have kids?
Who's that?
That was an email and then he was changing his mind, thinking that maybe he wanted to have kids and she didn't want to yet after they had been married. It was an email a couple days ago.
I don't know.
We discussed that, yeah.
Look, don't write me if you are childless and you want to defend yourself. I just don't want to hear it. It's mm-hmm. It's not like I care. Sometimes people write like, he's going to really care what I think. I don't really care what you think.
No,
you know, I'm just, this show's
so
about what I think. As horrible as that may seem to you, I think people who don't want to have children are by the very definition of the way they live their lives and the choices they make, very, very selfish. That's what I think. That's what I think.
I know very few people who have chosen not to have children, and they are extraordinarily selfish. The ones that I know that have chosen not to have kids.
The ones I've always known are extremely selfish people.
Extremely selfish.
Yeah, that's what I've always noticed.
Yes.
I think that's what I think.
Mm-hmm. There are some people that I probably wish that they would not have had children.
Do you think so?
I have met a couple. Yeah, absolutely.
Really? Those
are really selfish people.
So
here's what's crazy about this kid thing. Unless you're extremely selfish or extraordinarily weird, people who have children tend to love them more than life itself.
Yes.
The very thing, and even a lot of you guys who are married and you're waiting and waiting for children, you know, honestly, how dumb are you guys? You are working as hard as you can to avoid the one thing in life you will love the most. What sense does that make? The thing you will love the most in life, you go out of your way. Extraordinary methods, the huge dedication to birth control and everything else,
yeah.
and all the other crazy stuff you got to do to avoid the one thing you will love. It would be like someone who, look, if you walk through door number 3 over there, I'll give you $1 million in cash. And then they do everything they can to avoid walking mm-hmm. through that door.
Because they don't know they don't know what they're going to feel for that child. It is off the charts. Unbelievable
But again, talk to anybody who's a parent. Unless a psycho sickle like Ross just talked about. Right. I don't know very many people. I don't think I've ever met anybody.
No, I've met a couple where you just sit there and you watch how they carry themselves as parents and how
their
children
are just pawns.
Huh?
They tell you,
I wish I hadn't had children?
No, you can tell by their actions, by the way that they're living.
Nah, you're judging them at that point. You don't know what they're thinking. They might be lousy parents, but I bet you even those people, if you ask them,
I can't imagine somebody actually vocalizing that.
Sure.
Okay, I'm standing corrected. I'm guilty.
I'm just saying, I don't know of anybody who would, they would give up anything.
Yes.
They would lay down their very lives.
Mm-hmm. For their kids.
So this passion that they have for their children and the joy most of them, now of course kids drive us crazy, you know, just have a teenager, it'll drive you nuts, you know. Mm-hmm. But even then, most people will not trade that for life itself.
Oh, no. My gosh,
so the
I
very
give up everything
thing, all you childless couples out there, the very thing you are going to love the most in life, you're working as hard as you possibly can not to have, and then some of you as a result won't be able to have them because you waited so long, or you're wasting your 20s. I'm convinced people waste their 20s today. Mm-hmm. Just take it. 10 years of your life and you throw it down the toilet for nothing. What do they accomplish in their 20s?
Nothing. Nothing.
And you avoid it like the plague. For what? You got all this energy, you got all this strength, man. Build your family now. That's my personal opinion. Obviously, I'm a pretty strong opinion. It's not a guy. Now, some guys, they can't have children or it works out for whatever reason, you know. But when your pure dedication is, I just don't want to be bothered with them, you know, I don't know. I don't know. What can I say?
I think they are very selfish.
I think they're selfish, you know.
All the ones I know.
I don't know if they would admit that.
They just say that they want to live their life. They want to have I don't want to be tied down. They have all of the...
But what's funny is when they become parents, I think it changes the way they think. Mm-hmm. They would think, mm-hmm. really? You would give this up?
Well, I think about when they're older, you know, when they should be grandparents and having all the joy of that. You're just by yourself. You don't have any kids. You don't have any grandkids. You just end up alone. That just seems very dismal to me.
What do you like when you're 75 years of age? And you have no children. That's going to be sad. Now, there's people like that who don't have children.
Right.
But even them, I would have encouraged, go adopt.
Right, right.
You can. There's people that, you know, you can't have children. They go out and adopt other children. But you, by your own choice, don't have any children because you can't and choose not to adopt. So that now at the end of your life, you have nobody?
I think it would be pretty empty and lonely. The trips and the cars and the house and everything you thought was going to fulfill it. I think
we might
it would
be being
empty.
Really, really mean to people that are in that situation. I don't know.
I would love to know. Would love to know what that's like for them.
But I would think that'd be very, very sad.
It's kind of interesting.
Anyway.
Okay, here's
it. I know people who put it off intentionally because, you know, my own daughter, she didn't want to have children. I don't want to have children, you know. And I would have said the same thing to her. She'd have got mad at me anyway. Probably get mad if she hears the show. Good news is she doesn't listen to the show.
Good thing she doesn't listen. It's a good thing.
But at some point, you do move on with your life. You don't. Mm-hmm. You tell me you want to have your whole life and no children at all. So people avoid.
They do. The I very know thing some.
They will love the most when they finally do it. To me, it just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
You know, I guess for some people, you know, it makes sense to delay, you know, if their career calls for it one way or the other, mm-hmm. and that's the choice they make. Okay, but delay. But even then, it's a limited window that you can delay.
You can only delay for so long.
At some point, you delay too long, and then you miss out altogether. You know, TikTok. You know, so, I don't know.
That's
all I got to say about that. What was the original question?
The original question was, does Mark have anything to say about people who don't feel they can handle children and don't have any?
Yeah. I think they're being selfish.
Do you think all people should have children?
I do, if they possibly can. If they can't, adopt some. See you tomorrow!
Bye-bye, boys!
Have fun storming the castle!